Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world. Today's stories include New Year's greetings showcase deep appreciation for Master Li Hongzhi. Shenyun World Tour opens in four cities with all new program for 2015. No one disturbs his meditation anymore. A story of a Chinese immigrant in Germany. Heilongjiang human rights case. Lawyers blast court violations, intimidation. And new life for a gastrectomy patient. Now for the stories. New Year greetings showcase deep appreciation for Master Li Hongzhi. Treating Falun Gong practitioners well is being kind to ourselves. Good people will have a good future. Thank you, Master Li. This is a New Year greeting from a group of people in Dozhou City, Shandong Province. Minghui.org has received many such greetings from Master Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong. Many Chinese non-practitioners circumvented China's internet firewall to email their thanks and best wishes. How has a belief that is severely slandered by the party propaganda gained the respect and understanding of Chinese citizens? The answer lies in the power of Falun Gong and the unrelenting peaceful efforts of Falun Gong practitioners. A Sichuan woman's response is typical. She sincerely believed and recited Falun Dafa, Falun Gong, is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good, and recovered from lung cancer. In her email to Minghui.org, she said, I wish Falun Gong's Master Li a happy new year. And she told what happened after she was diagnosed with lung cancer at the No. 3 hospital affiliated with the Military Medical University in Chongqing. It changed her life. She sold the new house she had just bought in Chengdu and sought out the best treatments available, but didn't see much improvement. She got skinnier by the day and sensed she wouldn't live much longer. In the depths of despair 3 years ago, she came across a Falun Gong practitioner. The practitioner told her the facts about the persecution, shared with her how people were blessed by believing Falun Dafa is good, and convinced her that cultivation would do her good. I saw hope, she wrote. I quit the CCP organizations and started carrying the Falun Gong amulet with me every day. I recited, Falun Dafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. Over and over. It was really effective. My pain lessened. My complexion looked normal. I have not seen any signs of cancer. I'm a normal, healthy person. My relatives and friends witnessed the fundamental changes in me. I don't hide my secret either. I pass on the amulet to those in need. I also like watching Shenyun performances and reading Falun Gong materials to closely follow the persecution in China and to see how Falun Gong is embraced everywhere else around the world, she wrote. She concluded, Even though I don't practice Falun Gong, I believe that it's a good practice. I support Falun Gong and hope that it will bring my family, friends, and me a good future. My family members and I would like to send our sincere thanks to Master Li. We wish Master Li a happy new year. People in China have learned that supporting Falun Gong, a persecuted belief that teaches people to be good, has its own rewards, and they remember that at critical times. A family in Harbin, Heilongjiang Province, shared such an event with their New Year greeting. The man of the household wrote, I was working at a factory when I was hit by high-voltage electricity. I was totally numb after being thrown so far. The director was alarmed and said, Take him to the hospital right away. Even though I couldn't move, my mind was clear. I said, No problem. My wife practices Falun Gong. I recited silently, Falun Dafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. It was truly amazing what happened next. I was able to slowly stand up and resume working. Our family is very thankful for Master Li's help. We wish him a happy new year. The power of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance has shown tremendous resilience in the face of brutal persecution fueled by lies, violence, and brainwashing. It's great to see that more Chinese people have overcome the party's mind control and give Master Li Hongzhi credit for the power of Falun Gong and the conscientiousness of its students. Shenyun World Tour opens in four cities with all new program for 2015. Shenyun Performing Arts kicked off its 9th annual tour with performances in Houston and Austin, Texas, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Hamilton, Canada, between Christmas and New Year. The 2015 Shenyun World Tour offers a brand new program which again enthralls audiences with its signature dance and music. Musician, world-class production. Mr. Joshua Thompson, saxophonist and woodwind musician, and a member of the band Atlas Mayor, called Shenyun's combination of Chinese and Western instruments phenomenal. He said that he could see the universal struggle of mankind and humanity, of persevering against oppression and fighting for one's beliefs, culture, and customs. Obviously, this production cannot be done, as we learned, in China today. That's very telling of this. I think it's a very important production, and it's wonderful that it's a worldwide endeavor, traveling throughout the world. All the artists here, you can tell they've been working hard and are world class to be in a production of this scale in Austin and on the road in the U.S. and abroad. He also had some thoughts about the lyrics of the songs. It seems like it was more of a folklore, old message of hope. That's kind of what I got from the whole thing, the show. A lot of the undertones are very redeeming. Mr. Thompson attended the Saturday evening performance on December 27th in Austin with Argentine tango dancer Liliana Espinosa. It's a modern blend and a message not just focusing on 5,000 years ago, for example. So I thought that was cool. I really liked it, Mr. Thompson said. Ms. Espinosa said, I love their form, and you can see that they have been working on it for a long, long time. Just perfected it. Just beautiful. I think the silks that they wear are just beautiful, too, the way it blends with the dance, and it is wonderful. Mr. Thompson was equally impressed, pointing out the skillful transitions between the orchestra and the dancers. All of the beats and all of the instrumentation, how it blended with every scene, really impressive. It was a pleasure for the audience to hear these traditional Chinese instruments. I thought the soprano's range was incredible, specifically her vocal range. All of them, and to hear the inflections and the tonality and the timbre of the vocals is really amazing, he added. For Ms. Espinosa, Xinyan left her wanting to be more disciplined in her own dance. It's just wonderful. It's motivation for me to continue studying and practicing every day. Beautiful, uplifting, and spiritual. Janice and Charles Lively attended the performance at Jones Hall in Houston as their anniversary celebration. Beautiful, uplifting, and spiritual, she exclaimed. Ms. Lively was a schoolteacher and school choir director before retirement. She is now an officer of the board of directors at the Lake Houston Musical Arts Society. She had a high praise for the Xinyan Orchestra. It's wonderful. I love the combination of the Western music and the Chinese instruments. It's beautiful, just beautiful. The beautiful colors and the great dancing are just very, very uplifting, she said, adding that the theme of compassion in one of the performances was also very uplifting for her. Amazing choreography and costume design. Physician Paul Foster attended the performance in Austin with his parents. The performance tickets were his gift to them for their 50th wedding anniversary. The choreography is amazing, he said. The athleticism of the dancers is impressive. Dr. Foster said he was also impressed by the wide array of colors and the hundreds of handmade costumes in Xinyan. I was really taken aback by the costumes. The colors and costume design are amazing. Each one coming out is completely different, he said. The work that had to have gone into this is outstanding. It's beautiful. It's really fun to see. Pleased to see China's cultural heritage preserved. Linda, a Chinese-American who works in the education field, was pleased to see Xinyan's first performance at the Broward Center for Performing Arts in Florida. Regarding the fact that Xinyan is presenting the 5,000 years of Chinese culture to the world, she felt very proud. She felt very happy to see ancient Chinese stories and dance in the U.S. She also mentioned that she had heard many of the stories in the performance in her childhood, but had never seen them played out. Mr. Bill Thomas came with Linda. He felt great about Xinyan's music. He mentioned, for all cultures, music is the medicine to the heart and the soul. Mr. Wei, a Chinese immigrant from northern China, came to the performance at Hamilton Place Theater with Ms. Ding. This was the second year they watched the performance. He said, "It feels different every time. It feels great. It is kind of a great feeling that is hard to be explained in words." Xinyan will perform several hundred shows in over 100 cities in North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia this season. The tour will last 4.5 months. In North America alone, Xinyan will put on 270 performances in 85 cities. Since its founding in 2006, Xinyan has met with great success and has now grown to include 4 complete dance companies: Xinyan Performing Arts New York Company, Xinyan Performing Arts Touring Company, Xinyan Performing Arts International Company, and Xinyan Performing Arts World Company. Xinyan will continue with performances in Ottawa, Canada on January 2nd through 4th, San Jose, California on January 2nd through 4th, and Atlanta, Georgia on January 2nd through 4th. For more information on tickets and dates, please visit xinyan.com. No One Disturbs His Meditation Anymore. Story of a Chinese Immigrant in Germany. No One Disturbs His Meditation Anymore, Falun Gong practitioner Guo Jifeng's story, was recently aired on regional TV and radio in Germany. Mr. Guo visited the country on a business trip in 2008 and stayed as a refugee. Amid the persecution of Falun Gong in China, he was arrested four times and sent to three labor camps. He told WDR Fernsehen, a regional public broadcast service whose programs are available across the nation, "It is very unfortunate that I was persecuted in China. However, I'm lucky to have settled down in Germany, where I can do my exercises and think freely." WDR broadcast the story during weekend primetime on September 6, 2014. The TV interview was broadcast during weekend primetime on September 6, 2014. Mr. Guo currently resides in Dortmund, a city in western Germany. Photographer Payam Azari spotted him doing meditation in a park and learned that he was doing Falun Gong exercises. Guo's story was subsequently included in the Homeland 132 photo book, an album featuring immigrants in Germany. Radio station 91.2 MHz also interviewed Mr. Guo and aired his story on October 17th. Mr. Guo told the host, "I couldn't get a lawyer. Without due process, I was sent to three labor camps. At one of them, I was shocked by electric batons for 5 hours. My skin was burned." Mr. Azari told the radio station, "Falun Gong is very peaceful. You sense that when you see them doing the exercises. I don't understand why they were sent to prisons and labor camps. Criminals should be arrested. Meditators in the park shouldn't. Freedom of speech is very important." The radio host talked about the contrast between Mr. Guo's experience in China and in Germany. He had to leave China due to persecution and forced labor. In Germany, he is an electrical engineer who can freely meditate in the park. Within 5 years of arriving in Germany, Mr. Guo completed German language studies and was hired by a German multinational company as a certified electrical engineer. The German Labor Bureau carried his success story in the summer of 2014, Guo Jufeng, A Fresh Start. Heilongjiang human rights case, lawyers blast court violations, intimidation. On the third day of the trial of four Falun Gong practitioners arrested this March in the Heilongjiang human rights case, defense lawyers boycotted the session on December 19th and elevated the case to the local procuratorate and disciplinary commission. They made the decision based on repeated legal violations by the court during the first 2 days of trial and the fact that the four practitioners were in dire health condition. "There is no way for us to continue the defense. The court's violations of law are way too severe. The entire trial is illegal. There is no justice at all," said one of the six lawyers, Wang Hu. While the eight lawyers were at the procuratorate, local authorities introduced their legal aid lawyers and tried to force family members to replace the eight lawyers, who had to rush back to court. Lawyers Wang Chuanzhang and Liu Lianhe were detained for hours after the trial. Presiding Judge Wang Jingjun revoked their defense qualification, citing that Mr. Wang severely disrupted the order of the court because his cell phone vibrated once during the trial, and Mr. Liu accepted the case without permission from his law firm. With six lawyers withdrawn and two dismissed by the court, the practitioners' family members were told by the court that they had to find new lawyers in 15 days, and that failing to do so would constitute giving up the right to defense representation. In fact, the eight lawyers met numerous obstacles seeking justice for the four practitioners. Since they accepted the case, the trial dates changed multiple times. The lawyers themselves were constantly threatened by the authorities, and during the three-day trial, not only did the court suppress them through many illegal means, but even their safety was jeopardized. Everywhere they went, they were followed by plainclothes police officers. At the time of writing, the four practitioners are still detained. Their families aren't allowed to visit them. Due to harsh conditions and torture in the detention centers, their health deteriorated. Their current situation is very worrisome. First day of trial, evidence ignored. On their way to the court on December 17th, a seemingly easy trip was full of obstacles. The lawyers were stopped at three checkpoints set up by police. Their IDs and minivan were confiscated, so they had to ride a taxi to the court. Police set up three checkpoints in an attempt to prevent the lawyers and the practitioners' families from attending the trial. When they finally arrived, the lawyers were forced to go through a security check before they could enter, an unusual and illegal procedure in China. As the prosecutor read the indictment during the trial, the lawyers realized that it was a different version than the one they had received earlier. An important evidence item, meeting records by authorities planning the suppression of Falun Gong, which was favorable to the defendants, was left out. When the lawyers requested to add it back, the prosecutor ignored them, and the judge forbade them from discussing the evidence. Due to the lawyers' protests of the illegal trial procedure, the judge adjourned the hearing several times. In the end, the judge announced that the trial would continue the next day. the three female practitioners, Ms. Wang Yung-Chin, Ms. Meng Fan-Li, and Ms. Li Guifang, were taken back to the detention center, which was 5 hours away from the court. They barely had any sleep before they were awoken and taken back to the court the next morning for the 9 a.m. hearing. Second day of trial, lawyers physically intimidated, silenced. When the lawyers prepared to leave for the court the next morning, they found more than 30 plainclothes officers in their hotel lobby. They claimed to be protecting their safety. After they left, they were followed by 7 cars without license plates. During the second hearing on December 18th, when lawyer Chi Cheong-dong argued with the judge about the illegality of the trial procedure, 2 bailiffs came over, held his arms, and pressed his shoulder. One of the bailiffs pinched his neck. In the end, lawyer Chi received a warning from the judge. Lawyer Wang Yu also received a warning for repeatedly raising her hand to request a chance to talk. Without permission from the judge, the bailiff pressed her hands down with impunity. In order to demonstrate the illegality of the entire case, the lawyers asked the practitioners many detailed questions. The trial proceeded very slowly. When the trial finished at 6:10 p.m., the 3 female practitioners were dizzy and exhausted and could no longer maintain a clear head to answer questions. They were taken back to the detention center that evening. After the lawyers left the court, plainclothes officers continued to follow them. Third day of trial, families pushed to replace lawyers. In the early morning of December 19th, the third day of the trial, the 8 lawyers went to Jiansangjiang Procuratorate to file a complaint against the court. The lawyers tried to complain to Jiansangjiang Procuratorate about the court's violation of law during the trial, but to their surprise, the entire Procuratorate was deserted. However, to their surprise, on a Friday morning, the Procuratorate was entirely empty, except for one person staffing the receiving room. Meanwhile, at the court, the authorities tried to persuade the practitioners' family members to replace their lawyers with those they recommended. Upon learning this, the lawyers rushed back to the court and prevented the switch. New life for a gastrectomy patient. When Ms. Zhu was taken to the hospital after several bouts of severe stomach bleeding, she was told by the doctor that she needed to have 4/5 of her stomach removed. Since childhood, Ms. Zhu suffered from intestinal ruptures, bacterial infection in her kidneys, as well as cirrhosis of the liver. Continuous medication over the years only worsened the health of her digestive system, and she eventually developed peptic ulcers and began to suffer from gastrointestinal bleeding. Her stomach had simply been damaged beyond repair. Life without a stomach was painful and difficult. She had to be very careful about everything she ate. It couldn't be sweet or acidic. It had to be easily digestible, and she could never eat too much or too little. Ms. Zhu was only in her 40s, and yet life to her now seemed disheartening and hopeless. On top of her serious health concerns, as a college professor, Ms. Zhu still had daily professional and societal responsibilities to fulfill. Her life became one of constant running around between her school, home, and the hospital. After a doctor's visit, a few years later, Ms. Zhu was even more disappointed to hear that she now had heart problems as well. Her arteries were hardening, and there was insufficient blood flow to her brain. Even though excessive medication had destroyed her digestive system, she now had to take more medication to control her other diseases as well. By this time, Ms. Zhu had suffered through 55 years of poor health. A miraculous turning point. For so many years, Ms. Zhu had been longing for something that could turn her poor health around. She didn't know what it was, but she was waiting for it. Something was out there for her, she believed, and it would come to her one day. Another 10 years passed. "You can't take medicine anymore. You are suffering from ulcers again," Ms. Zhu's doctor said to her during a regular checkup. Then her doctor offered, "You know, I heard that there was a popular Qigong practice called Falun Gong that is good for healing. Give it a try. This might be your solution." April 20, 1996 was the most important day in Ms. Zhu's life. It was the day she learned the Falun Gong exercises. Several practitioners who attended Ms. Zhu's university taught them to her. When she did the exercises that first time, she could feel energy flowing through her body. It was a wonderful experience. "It's just great. This is what I have been looking for," she thought. At the beginning, Ms. Zhu just focused on doing the exercises. Growing up in an atheist society, she had reservations about the spiritual aspect of the practice. Things changed after she watched a video of practitioners sharing their cultivation experiences, how they benefited from the practice in both mind and body. The video was very inspiring, and it also helped her to understand the benefits of cultivating one's character and assimilating to the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. A relative encouraged Ms. Zhu to read Juan Falun, the main book of Falun Gong. As soon as she picked up the book, she found that she couldn't put it down. Her health improved exponentially as she did the exercises and read the book. One day, Ms. Zhu was having dinner with her husband after coming back from group exercise practice. They were eating while watching TV and chatting with each other. On the table was a dish of spiced beef. Without even realizing it, Ms. Zhu had eaten one piece after another. With her poor digestion, she could never have done that before. Her husband was thoroughly impressed with the healing effects of the practice. He recalled, "It was just amazing. Before, she was very particular about the food she ate, but now she doesn't feel uncomfortable after eating an entire dish of beef." 2 months after Ms. Zhu started practicing Falun Gong, she went back to the hospital for a checkup. She was happy to learn that both her kidneys were now free of bacteria, and the blood cells in her urine had disappeared. Everything was back to normal again. Witnessing the great changes in Ms. Zhu, her husband also started practicing Falun Gong. "I joined a group of practitioners who did the exercises together at the university every morning. Quickly, it grew from a dozen people to more than 300 people. We did the exercises even when it snowed. Although the weather was so cold, no one seemed to be bothered by it, and the entire site was so peaceful," Ms. Zhu said. "It was truly a joyful period for me." Shortly after Ms. Zhu and her husband moved to the United States in 1999, a nationwide persecution of Falun Gong was started by the Chinese Communist Party. Propaganda attacked the practice everywhere. "Falun Gong gave me a new life. I experienced it myself. It pains my heart to see people believing the propaganda and developing hatred toward the practice. It's my responsibility to let people know the facts," she said. Now in her 80s, Ms. Zhu is still very active in the community, raising awareness about the persecution and clarifying the facts about Falun Gong to the local Chinese people. That's all we have for you this week. If you like the contents, please go to our website to subscribe to the weekly newsletter, or send your suggestions and feedback to editor@en.minghui.org. Thank you for listening.